Okay, a common problem that comes up in contemporary society, certainly in America, is that very often people are invited to different events or are feel the need to attend certain events in conservative shuls. And the exact status of a conservative shul, people are familiar that there's some issue with it. So I want to talk about some of the different issues with going into a conservative shul and the different purposes, why one might go there, whether it's to daven there, whether it's going there for a wedding, for a simcha of some sort. Some people are offered jobs teaching in the Talmud Torah in a conservative shul. Some people, used to be a very big thing that people coming out of yeshiva sometimes took a job as a rabbi in a conservative shul, whether that's ever permissible. So in order to frame the question properly, it's important to realize that there are really two distinct approaches that were taken by the two of the Gedolei HaPoskim from the previous generation. Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe both had very, very strong feelings against, obviously, conservative Judaism, but conservative shuls as well, but they framed it in very, very different ways. Rav Moshe constantly framed the issue as one of apikorsus, one of a belief system, giving the impression that you're going to pray with them, that you're going to believe the same things they believe, that you share in their ideals, and that's what he was extremely concerned about, that a person would look like he's denying some of the tenets of our faith, as which the conservative movement does deny Torah min HaShemayim and some of the others as well, some of the other of the Yud Gimel Ikarei HaAmuna. So Rav Moshe's chief concern was about that. Rav Soloveitchik had a different approach. Rav Soloveitchik not only was concerned about those things, but he also had an understanding of Chukas Akum, which included primarily that we're not only allowed to do things that Goyim do that have no reason or that may be based in Avodah Zarah, but he said for us to worship in a way that they worship, for us to mimic their modes of worship, that is a violation of Chukas Akum. And he felt that the conservative movement had taken much of the way things work in a church, the way things work in Christian worship, and included that in their form of worship. And he thought that it was therefore a very terrible avera for a person to participate in any form of worship in a conservative shul, even if the conservative shul you're going to happens to not believe anything. Meaning there are very often shuls where they don't necessarily subscribe to the beliefs of the conservative movement. They don't believe anything or know what they believe. They just know that this is the Jewish thing to do, and this is the shul that's in closest driving distance, and people aren't really, they're not philosophizing about it that much. They're just going to the shul anyway. But since the mode of worship is one that's taken from the Christians, so he thought that would be a terrible violation of Chukas Akum. In fact, that's why Rav Soloveitchik was hypersensitive to certain things that others didn't think was a big deal. For example, stained glass windows. Rav Soloveitchik thought that was a violation of Chukas Akum, because where do we get the idea of stained glass windows in shuls? We took it from churches. Every great church that's built beautifully is built with stained glass windows. Now, that's obviously something that the minhag has been not like Rav Soloveitchik. I think many shuls, when they build new shuls, they put stained glass windows in if they have the money for it, in the shul. Rav Soloveitchik was also very much against concluding the tefillos with the prayer of Yigdal, because he thought that Yigdal was also the idea of putting all of our Ikarei Emunah into one prayer and concluding the service with that prayer that encapsulates all the Ikarei Emunah. He thought that was also a Christian thing to do, that apparently in their service as well, they have, I don't know what he was referring to, I'm not familiar enough with what they do, but they also have a prayer that encapsulates all of their Ikarei Emunah, so to speak, and they conclude the services with that. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik held. Now, is a conservative shul a base of Avodah Zarah? So Rav Schechter pointed out that it's very difficult to declare a contemporary conservative shul a base of Avodah Zarah, because, as we mentioned before, most people just view themselves as affiliating Jewishly, not quite as Haredi as the Orthodox, but, you know, as affiliating Jewishly, and they don't actually believe in anything yay or nay. They're just trying to keep up their Jewish affiliation. So that would certainly not be an Avodah Zarah. If, however, Rav Schechter pointed out in a shiur that he gave almost 30 years ago, if they actually have a different set of Imamins, where they don't believe in Torah min HaShemayim and they have their own set of beliefs that are firmly held, then they could have a din of a base of Avodah Zarah. So what about davening there? So in terms of entering Reform or conservative shul to daven there, according to both Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik, it is absolutely prohibited. One of the rare cases Rav Soloveitchik in his lifetime published a public psak halacha was in relation to davening in a conservative shul. You have to understand, in the 1940s and 50s in America, there were mechitza wars going on. There were in Orthodox shuls throughout the country, mechitzas were coming down. The conservative movement was the wave of the future. It was going to be the future of the Jewish people on these shores, and Orthodoxy was a dying breed and it wasn't going to survive. Obviously, such prophecies, thankfully, did not come true. In fact, the opposite seems to be the case. But in fighting this milchama, Rav Soloveitchik published a public psak where he said, if the only way you will be able to be yotzei the mitzvah d'oraisa of tkias shofar is by going to a conservative shul to hear the shofar, stay home. Don't do the mitzvah d'oraisa of tkias shofar. Better to b'shevi al taseh, not do the mitzvah d'oraisa, than to b'kum va'aseh, go and violate an isra of chukas akum d'oraisa. Excuse me, and go into the shul. In Divrei HaRav, I believe, I couldn't find it just now when I was looking quickly, but I believe in Divrei HaRav, in Rav Schachter's third volume of his intellectual biography of Rav Soloveitchik, he writes that there was one situation where a boy was a YU boy, and he had a younger brother who was becoming bar mitzvah in a conservative shul, and he asked Rav Soloveitchik what to do, and Rav Soloveitchik told him that he should go to the bar mitzvah, but not say a word of the prayer, not answer a main to any bracha, not participate in the tefillah whatsoever, but he should go to the shul and be there for his family and be there because you have to remain sensitive to, obviously, the shalom bias issues and things of that nature. So I think in Divrei HaRav says that the boy did that, and sure enough, the younger brother ultimately also ended up going to NCSY and becoming religious, and now they're both Bnei Torah that are raising families al pi derech haTorah. Now, if an Orthodox person goes into a shul, he has to be cognizant of what kind, goes into a conservative shul, he has to be cognizant of what kind of image he's projecting. Shechter pointed out, we pointed out from Moshe earlier this summer, there are two types of Maris Ha'ayin. There's a Maris Ha'ayin where someone sees what you're doing and they're going to think that you're doing an Avera, they're going to assume the worst about you. And then there's another type of Maris, that's what we call Chashad. And then there's another type of Maris Ha'ayin where people are going to think that something that you're doing is permissible. So if a person goes with, looks like an Orthodox Jew, looks like a religious Jew, and goes into a conservative shul at a time that they're davening, so that can certainly give the impression that, you know, push comes to shove, you have trouble finding a minyan, then you can go into a conservative shul and daven in a conservative shul. That would seem to be a violation of Maris Ha'ayin, and even if the person is not davening there, but it's a Maris Ha'ayin, it creates the impression that it's permissible to daven there. It may depend who the guy is that's going in. If it's someone that looks like a role model religiously that others may emulate or not, but that certainly could be a violation of Maris Ha'ayin. Rav Shechter told me that when I asked him once about a woman taking a teaching job in a church school, a school that's affiliated with the church, and it's in the church building, he said that that it's a separate, if it's a separate entrance, and everybody could see that you're going during school hours only, not during church service hours, and you're not going into the sanctuary of the church at all, you're just going into the school part of the building, he didn't think that was a Maris Ha'ayin issue at all. And the same l'chara would apply with Hebrew schools and the like, that a person is going in as a teacher during non-service hours, non-tefillah hours, and he's going just to teach, that would not be a violation of the Maris Ha'ayin. Now, what if you're going for a wedding? So Rav Moshe writes in a couple of tshuvas, Rav Moshe Nevnezachil Beisim Yizayin writes, when it comes to a chasana shatiyah, the conservativity temple, the harabai shalahem yeh mesadar kiddushin. Rav Moshe was, throughout all of his tshuvas, he was always consistent. Whenever talking about conservative reform rabbis, he never refers to them as Rav, he refers to them as Rabbi. When he talks about Orthodox rabbis, he refers to them as Harav. So he said to differentiate what's a real rabbi and what's just a quote unquote rabbi. And he says in the to go to a wedding at a conservative shul where the rabbi is going to be Masada Kedushin, Ein l'ish kasha liyos sham. If it's a conservative rabbi being Masada Kedushin, from Jew has no business being there. Achim Rav kasher yisadar kedushin kedena Torah. But if it's an Orthodox rabbi, it's a Rav kasher. It's a kosher rabbi that's being Masada the Kedushin. So since the chasna mikvah is not going to be at a time where they are holding services. There's no iser min adin. No one is going to be choshed you of anything. But he says maybe then even an adam chashuv should be makbid, or at least an adam chashuv should be makbid, unless there's a tzorach gadol not to go into the shul. In Chelekei, in Or Chaim Siman Lamed, Rav Moshe, in another tshuva, says that also he reiterates that if it's at a time that's not for tefillah, that's not a time where they're holding services, then there's no iser. And he says ledina ein lesser milelech lemishtu sudas chasna shetia buulam v'chena ein lesser afli kanes lachupa shetia bebeis haknesses shalahem. He says if you're going to a wedding in conservative shul, where do they normally have the chuppah? The chuppah is normally in the sanctuary. So he says in the sanctuary you're allowed to attend the chuppah in the sanctuary. No one thinks you're going there to pray at all. The avsha beis haknesses kasher hayesha osur milasel shom chuppah mishum kedushas beis haknesses. He says, and even though there were many people who held that you're not allowed to have a wedding in a shul, in a kosher shul, the Chasam Sofer thought that that was also a way of mimicking the practices of the goyim, because they hold their weddings in their church. So he thought weddings in a shul were a big problem. So says Rav Moshe, Avol bebeis haknesses zeh shalom is nagin bo kedini haTorah, ein bo shum kedusha. He says, part of the concern with making a wedding in a shul is that it's designed to the kedusha of a shul. The shul is meant for davening, but he says this isn't a shul; it doesn't have kedusha beis haknesses. So it actually turns out that it's better to make a wedding in a conservative shul than in an orthodox shul from a certain perspective. So he says you can make a chuppah there for sure, but he says it's distasteful. He says my inclination is to stay away from these kinds of things, and other people are gonna maybe get the wrong impression. But it's not a devar iser; it's only a zehirus bialma. So he's he says even an adam chashuv b'makom tzorech can be mekel. I once asked Rav Shechter about a wedding in a conservative shul, and he told me that the Chasam Sofer was opposed to performing weddings in shuls. But he quotes from this tshuva of Rav Moshe that conservative shuls don't have kedushas beis haknesses, so it's no problem. And he says, but if a person has to realize that if somehow participating in the wedding is going to give people the impression that you're allowed to daven in such shul, then obviously you shouldn't do it. But Rav Shechter wrote in an email to me, but today I think everyone understands you're renting the catering, all the establishment, it doesn't endorse the permissibility of davening the shul, so you thought it was not a problem. Nobody seems to mention the point that we're strengthening the ability of the shul to survive, meaning a lot of times these shuls are only still in business not because they have so much clientele anymore. Conservative Judaism has proven itself to be essentially a one-generation religion before all the children become unaffiliated or intermarry, and that's the end. So there isn't, it's a dying breed. So how do they stay in business? How do they keep these massive temples functioning? Is through catering, through the money that they get for catering, or yeshivas renting out classroom space and things like that. Certainly in the five towns, that's how they stay in business, because all the yeshivas need more classroom space, and they rent out classroom space from the conservative shuls, and no one seems to raise the issue of how you being mechazik yidei over avera, that they hear they're running their own brand of Judaism, and we're being mechazik them. Probably, perhaps it's not an issue of lifnei iver or even mesayei yidei over avera. I don't know why not. Maybe one could argue that it's beneficial to have conservative shuls, because those people who attend those conservative shuls, if the conservative shuls didn't exist, they just wouldn't affiliate Jewishly at all. So it keeps at least it buys you one more generation to hopefully be Makariv people before they completely disassociate with Judaism and are Rachmana Litzlan lost. As I mentioned before, being a teacher in Talmud Torah, Rav Moshe permits the halacha because it's not a time of tefillah, and he says especially the tzorach parnasa we have to be lenient. But Rav Arnfelder quotes from Rav Moshe, but still ein ruach chachamim noche emenu. What about taking a job as a rabbi in a conservative shul? So Rav Moshe very strongly rejects the idea of taking a job as rabbi in conservative shuls, and he says that the suggestion, or he doesn't say, but it's been pointed out that the suggestion that you'll go and take a job as a rabbi in a conservative shul and you'll be mekarev the people is beyond unrealistic, unless it's a very, very rare circumstance. Most conservative shuls are not really a situation of kiruv at all, and Rav Aaron Felder writes in his sefer, da de svara zu eno kayam klalu klal, that this svara doesn't exist. It's not even a enom ladum chartei kadesh yiska chavircha, and even if in some way you'll be better for that kihila, for that conservative kihila, and somebody else would be. We don't tell a person do an avera in order to be mezaka somebody else. And Rav Aaron Felder, actually in his sefer, takes a little potshot at Rav Soloveitchik when he discusses Rav Soloveitchik's approach to this. Rav Aaron Felder was a Talmud Rav Moshe. He writes, "Asher harbe min harabai sanal husmuchu mimenu." When he quotes Rav Soloveitchik, he says a lot of these rabbis that take jobs in conservative shuls got their smicha from Rav Soloveitchik. But it should be noted that Rav Soloveitchik did not permit taking a shtel or taking a conservative shul. He said that no rabbi can take a job, and Rav Soloveitchik published this publicly, in a Christianized synagogue. What's a Christianized synagogue? Because again, that's the way Rav Soloveitchik understood this, that it's a matter of taking Christian practice and putting it somehow, sticking it into our religion. There's that one major exception, the case of Rabbi Riskin, where when Rabbi Riskin took over the Lincoln Square Synagogue, it was a conservative shul, and he says that Rav Soloveitchik, this is not a published psak, this is just based on Rabbi Riskin's word, he says that Rav Soloveitchik told him that he's allowed to do it with two conditions. Number one, that within a year, after a year or maybe 2 years, I don't remember the exact time frame, if they don't put up a mechitza, he has to leave. And number two, that so long as there's no mechitza there, he cannot take a salary from them. That it's not going to be something that he's going to get his parnasa, and that he could be bought to sacrifice his principles, and he cannot take a salary until they actually put up a mechitza. And Rabbi Riskin actually was successful in getting the Lincoln Square Synagogue to put up a mechitza. So that's some of the issues, or some of the basic background to the issues of entering and davening in a conservative shul. I know in North Woodmere there's an Orthodox minion in one of the conservative shuls. Rabbi Chesky, our head counselor here in camp, is the rabbi of the minion, and before he opened the shul, he made sure Rabbi Willig came down and checked out the situation, where Rabbi Willig insisted that there be an entirely separate entrance, that it be evident that the Orthodox people are not going during the and that they have a totally different starting time of davening, so that which is pretty easy to do, because I think the conservative Balabatim wanted to get a round of golfing before they go to shul anyway, so there was plenty of time to scatter the times. So he figured it out to work out a way where it would be very evident to anybody that these are two totally separate groups that are not participating in the same services together, and that he thought was a critical element of allowing such a minyan to take place.
On Wednesday, we're going to the B'nai B'rith, which I guess is also conservative.